This is Brian Jenkins of Chosen 300 Ministries. Thank you so much for joining us today, and we hope you enjoy today's message. Be sure to join us on the web at www.chosen300.org, where you can learn about volunteer activities and also opportunities for giving. You can give by sending us a gift to Chosen 300 Ministries at P.O. Box 95, Ardmore, Pennsylvania, 19003. We also have an option for online giving right on our website at chosen300.org, and we also encourage you to designate your United Way or community giving gifts at your place of employment to Chosen 300 Ministries. This is a big help to our ongoing expense for our mission projects in Center City, Philadelphia. We want to thank you so much for joining to us today, and may God bless you and you enjoy today's message.
Amen. It's time for the Word of God. Amen. Let's put your hands together and bless God. I want to read the scripture this morning. Amen. On our Sunday morning services, anytime that we're here, anytime we read the Word of God, we ask that you stand for your feet, just one moment. Stand on your feet for just one moment. It is found in Luke, the third chapter, verse 3 to 6. Luke, the third chapter, verse 3 to 6. Actually, it's 3 to 8. My apologies, 3 to 8. It says, "And he came into all the country about Jordan, preaching the baptism of repentance for the remission of sins. As it is written in the book of the word of Isaiah, the prophet, saying, 'The voice of one crying in the wilderness, prepare ye the way of the Lord, make paths as straight. And every valley shall be filled, and every mountain and hill shall be brought low, and the crooked shall be made straight, and the rough ways shall be made smooth. And all flesh shall see it together, for all flesh shall see the salvation of God.' Then said he to the multitude that came forth to be baptized of him, 'O generation of vipers, who have warned you to flee from the wrath to come? Bring forth therefore fruits of worthy repentance, and begin not to say within yourselves, We have Abraham as our father, for I say unto you that God is able of these stones to raise up children unto Abraham.'" We want to focus on the beginning of that eighth verse. "Bring forth therefore fruits worthy of repentance." Let us pray. We thank God for our musicians today. Give them a great big hand for coming. Amen. Father, we thank you and love you today, God, for allowing us to come and learn about your word. You said through your servant David that I will make his word a lamp unto my feet and a light unto my pathways, that we might hide his words in our heart, that we might not sin against thee. Lord, we thank you for this word in Jesus' name. Let us all say amen. 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 Just turn to your neighbor as you sit down and say, "Neighbor, do you have evidence of repentance?" Evidence of repentance. You may be seated. Amen. That's our message for this morning. Evidence of repentance. You know, in a court of law in America, I'm glad that I live in America. Sometimes I question our justice system. But the statement that is often said, that you are innocent until proven guilty, meaning that the prosecuting attorney has to come up with the evidence necessary to prove that you are often guilty. I love the saga of the O.J. Simpson trial. I mean, I just laugh at that trial sometimes. And I remember the famous words of the late Johnny Cochran, that if a glove don't fit, then you must acquit. And I just laugh at that sometimes, because it's, you know, sometimes the evidence that is argued really doesn't line up with what actually happened. And regardless of whether he's guilty or not, it does not matter. But, you know, is there evidence against the person that is being accused that they really fit the crime? Well, let's flip the script here this morning. That imagine in America that Christianity, or being a repented believer, was something that was a crime. You know, all around the world, there's countries that we go to that often Christianity is a crime. And actually, some of our staff has traveled to China before the walls of communism had come down. And they used to have to smuggle Bibles into China, covering them in suitcases of tampons, whatever it took to get the Bibles into China. And there's countries now, even now, that Christianity is against the law to practice. But what if Christianity was against the law to practice here? And then a case came up against you that you were a practicing Christian. Would there be enough evidence to put you away? Is there evidence that you have repented in your life and made a turn to walk towards God and live a life of Christianity? Well, let's look at our text in Luke, the third chapter, and verse 3-6. This morning, we want to talk about the fruits or the evidence of repentance. Verse 3, it says, "And he came into all the country about Jordan, preaching a baptism of repentance for the remission of sins, as is written in the book of the words of Isaiah the prophet, saying, the voice of him crying in the wilderness, prepare ye the way of the Lord, make paths as straight." And I always want to quote Isaiah's because he is more detailed than this. It says, "Let every valley shall be filled, and every mountain and hill shall be made low, and the crooked shall be made plain, and straight, and the rough places plain, and the glory of the Lord shall be revealed, and all flesh shall see it together, for the mouth of the Lord has spoken it." What was the purpose of John the Baptist? John the Baptist was brought here for the purpose of preparing the way for the coming of Christ. Now we have to make it clear that he was not here to prepare for his birth, because you remember John the Baptist, he was only about 6 months older than Jesus. You remember the story that when Elizabeth, the mother of John, had went before Mary, who was also pregnant with Jesus at the time, and when the salutation came, John the Baptist had leaped in his mother's womb, Elizabeth, because of the fact that they had come in contact with the Jesus, the Savior, who was in the womb of Mary at the same time. John the Baptist was not here to present the birth of Jesus, but he was here to present the ministry of Jesus, to declare to the world that the kingdom is at hand. Repent, because the Savior is coming. In Matthew 3:11, it says, "I indeed baptize you with water unto repentance." Key word is repentance. "But he that come after me is mightier than I, whose shoes I'm not able to bear. He shall baptize you with the Holy Ghost and with fire." In John, the first chapter, verse 6-8, it says, "There was a man sent from God whose name was John. The same came to for a witness, to bear witness of the light, that through him might believe. He was not the light, but he was sent to bear witness of that light." So John was simply here to introduce Jesus to us. Here is the Savior coming. He is the one that you should turn to. He is the one that is going to give you everlasting life. He is the one that's going to baptize you, not with water, but with fire, that your life might be changed. In the 7th verse of the 3rd chapter, Luke, he continues on to say, "Then he said unto the multitude that came forth to be baptized of him, O generation of vipers, who have warned you to flee from the wrath to come?" I want to focus on that. O generation of vipers. O generation of vipers. You know, here, John the Baptist, these people have come to be baptized of him. And he opens up his sermon by saying, "O generation of vipers." Now, may not be the best way to open up a sermon. Normally, when you open up a sermon, you open it up with a nice analogy, you know, some life appealing thing to get people interested. But here he begins a sermon, "O generation of vipers." It's kind of like me coming in here and standing up here behind the desk and open up my sermon, "Oh, you ruthless sinners." And that's what he did, "O generation of vipers." And I tried to think about this a little better. And what came to me, there was a song by Belle Biv DeVoe. I probably ain't saying it right because I don't know the person. But they had a song called "This Girl is Poison." Y'all remember that song? "This girl is poison." You remember the song? And the song, what's the song? It's a classic, yes. "This girl is poison." And the meaning behind the song simply said that this girl was bad news. She will hook you up, mess up your heart, tear you up. She's been around with a whole bunch of people. Didn't say that she was diseased or not, but she will cause a mess or havoc in your life. And when John is saying to us, "O generation of vipers," what he is saying is that you have become a heartless people, that you hate one another, you do whatever you want to do to everybody else, and you don't live after God's law. And he declares to them, "O generation of vipers." You know, if John the Baptist would stand up here today, how would he open up his sermon for your life? It maybe not as a collective group, but individually, how would he open up a sermon for your life? How would he describe you, or how would he present to you what the gospel has to offer? Would he be saying to you, "O generation of viper, O you ruthless person that don't care about anybody else but yourself, O you that don't really want to worry about who you're going to help, who you're not going to help, but you're only concerned about three people, me, myself, and I. O generation of vipers. He continues on in the text. In that verse 7, it says, who have warned you from the wrath to come. He's saying that there is a wrath that is coming. And it's the judgment of God upon the earth. And that judgment is coming. It is real. But he's telling you to flee from it. How do we escape? How do you escape from the wrath? It's simply by the way of repentance. In verse 8, it talks about, it begins here, verse 8 through 14. It deals with what these fruits of repentance are. What is the evidence that you have repented or you have accepted Jesus Christ as your personal Lord and Savior, that you have turned away from a life of sin and a life of displeasing God and His Word? Verse 8, it says, bring forth therefore fruits worthy of repentance. And begin not to say within yourselves, we have Abraham to our father. For I say unto you, God is able to bring of these stones to raise up children of Abraham. The first thing here says, the fruit. And a lot of times when we think of fruit, we're thinking about bringing an offering. And some of us are trying to do just that. We're trying to bribe God into repentance. What he's saying is here is to bring fruits or evidence that you have a repentant heart. When you come to be baptized, and declare that, yes, I want to profess Jesus Christ as my Lord and Savior, I'm taking forth his death, burial, and resurrection, and I'm walking in my new life in Christ, don't just come as a form of fashion, but come to do it to say that I want a change of heart. I'm changing my way of thinking. I'm changing my mindset that I might be in right standing with God. Have a fruit of repentance. The word repent simply means this, to return. To return. Well, what are we returning to? We're not returning to the state that we were in because we were born in sin. In Psalms, the 51st chapter, David says, I was born in iniquity and in sin did my mother conceive me. I was made this way. So how are we returning? What we are returning to was the state that Adam was in before he fell, because of the fact that before Adam fell, he was in a place of authority. He was a place that he was in the image of God, and he was a place that he had freedom of choice. But then he fell, and then he became a slave to sin, and that slavery was passed upon all men. But once you have accepted Jesus Christ and decided to repent, what are you doing? Are returning back to the way that God intended you to be. How many people want to return back to the way that God intended you to be? All right, the rest of you just want to stay where you are. Okay, good. I want to return. I want to get to the place where God wants me to be. Well, what are these evidences that John is talking about, or these fruits of repentance? Let's begin at verse 9. It says, verse 9 indicates that those that do not have the evidence of repentance shall be cut down and placed into the fire. But in verse 10 to 14, John's responses to the people's inquiries gives us three evidences or fruits of repentance. Let's look at verse 10 to 11. It says, and the people asked him, saying, what shall we do then? He answered and said unto them, he that have two coats, let him impart to them that have none, and he that have meat, let him do likewise. Somebody please tell me that was here last week, what are the two roles of the church? I can't hear you. Share the gospel, help the poor. That means y'all weren't listening to the sermon last week? Come on now. There's two things, two responsibilities of the church that no matter what we do, it's not fashion shows, it's not dinner sales, it is help, share the gospel, help the poor. That's all we do here. And every time that I turn around and I look at God's word, when it talks about living a life of Christianity, part of the responsibility is to make sure that you help somebody that's less fortunate than you. Now, a lot of times we look at our own condition and say, well, you know, I'm in this state, I'm in this situation, I'm in this circumstance, how can I help somebody? But you have to realize there's always somebody that's worse off than you. If you have two shirts, give one to somebody else. If you have two coats, give one to somebody else. If you have some extra meat on your plate, give some to somebody else. And the reality is that as you give out and help somebody else, God will cause things to return unto you. Let me explain the process of blessings. See, sometimes you're trying to get blessings by carrying a bucket to God and say, God, fill me up. But instead of having a bucket mentality, because if you have a bucket mentality, what happens is that once the bucket is full, can't nothing else fit into the bucket? But what you have to say, God, make me a hose. And the reason why you want to be a hose is because as the blessings come down through the hose, you become a distribution center for God's blessings. And what happens is blessings come down from the source, and then God makes you a resource and allows you to redistribute the blessings that he has for you. Can somebody say amen? Let me make this plain. We have a wonderful relationship with Coca-Cola Bottling Company. I love Coca-Cola. I don't drink Pepsi. I only drink Coke. But Coca-Cola, they every once in a while they give us some soda. And so when we get a lot of soda, they send it by the tractor trailer, and we can't take it all, so we distribute it out. We just keep sending it out. And so we cleared the center of all the soda that was here because it was just too much here. They called me again this week and said, do me a favor, get ready because we have two more tractor trailers coming to you. I said, I can't even take two tractor trailers. I said, let's call some churches and get it out to them, because what has happened as I give out, God sees that he can trust me with what he has given me. And if he can trust me with what he's given me before, what he's going to do is give me more. And I know some of y'all laugh at this tithing thing. Y'all laugh at it and say, oh, it doesn't work. But I'm convinced that if you give and release the portion that God requires of you, he sees that he can trust you with a little bit, then he'll give you some more. He'll say that you've been faithful over a few things, and then I'll make you a ruler over many things. But you got to trust him and realize that if you learn to share and release a portion of the blessing that God has given you, you'll find that he'll give you a whole much more. The scripture says, give and it shall be given unto you, good measure, pressed down, shaken together, and running over will men give unto your bosom. You know, Dr. Alan Waller, I want to get back to this, but Dr. Alan Waller of the Enon Tabernacle Baptist Church has a wonderful analogy, and I love this analogy, and I stole it from him. I'm going to give him credit a couple times, and then I'll call it my own. But he had an analogy. He had an analogy that the best way to explain this pressed down, shaken together thing, he says, men do this all the time. My wife tells me, put out the trash, honey, put out the trash. We look in the trash can, we take our foot, we press it down, and we shake it together, and so we can still fit some more in there. And that's how the return of God's blessing will come to you. He will take the foot of his down from glory, see the blessing that he has for you. He says, wait a second, I got to put some more in it. So he takes his foot and presses it down and shake it together. And then he puts some more in. And then he stomps it down and shake it together. And it literally runs over. The blessing comes back in the package so much better than the way you sent it out. Somebody put your hands together and praise God. But the first fruit or evidence that you have repented is that you will be a giver to help somebody else. You know, the first law of humanity is self-preservation. What can I do for me? But the first law of Christianity is self-denial. He says, if any man come after me, let him deny himself and let him take up his cross and follow me. For whosoever shall lose his life for my sake shall gain it, and whosoever shall gain his life shall lose it. What does it profit a man to gain the whole world and to lose his own soul? The first fruit or the first evidence that you have repented is that you will have a giving spirit and making sure that you have compassion to those that are in need. Can somebody say amen? Amen. Let's continue in our chapter, the third chapter, verse 12 to 13. It says, then came also publicans. You could put re in front of that. Publicans to be baptized. And he said unto him, Master, what shall we do? And he said unto them, exact no more than what is appointed to you. You have to understand the publicans were the tax collectors of that day. And normally when they went and collected taxes, they not only collected taxes, but they also collected more for themselves. And they could have the people put in jail if they did not give them what they wanted. They were tax collectors. This says two things. One, there's nothing wrong with paying taxes. Taxes is correct. It says to render unto Caesar the things that are Caesar's and unto God the things that are God's. But the problem is that when taxation comes out of order and our government begins to waste money on what is not supposed to be used for. But here this publican here comes to John and says, what do I have to do to have a repentant heart? Well, what does this mean for us? It says that we need to live a life of integrity. We need to live a life of integrity. We ought to make sure that when we go to work for somebody, how many people have jobs here? You have job, you have a job now. God's blessed you with a job. The rest of you, God's working on you. He's got a job for you. But when you get that job, you have to make sure that you serve with integrity. That means make sure that you show up for work on time. Make sure that you don't leave early. Make sure that your lunch break is not a vacation break. And understand that every time that you go into work, you ought to give it your best day. I believe that Christians ought to be the best workers around anywhere, because your understanding of work ought to be different than somebody else. When you go to work, you're not working for the man. You are working for him, because he is the one that blessed you with the job. And if it was not for him, you would not have that job. So when you are working, you are doing it unto him. The scripture says that in all that we do, we should do it heartily as unto the Lord. We ought to do it with excitement. When you wake up in the morning and go to work, say, oh, I'm glad to go to work. What can I do to make this place a better place? You know, you shouldn't go to your job and be the hellraiser, but you should be the one that's being the praiser, that you might give God the glory and serve him with everything that you got, and make sure that you are there for the purpose of making that place a better place. Can somebody say amen? Amen. Amen. And when you do everything heartily unto the Lord, as Colossians 3 and 23 and 24 says, knowing this, that the Lord shall receive that, knowing that of the Lord you shall receive the reward of your inheritance, for you serve Jesus Christ. When you go to work, you're not serving the people you work for. You're serving God in what you're doing. So make sure that you have a life of integrity, that you serve with integrity, that you don't try to get a free paycheck, but you get a paycheck because you have earned it. It's one thing to go to work. It's another thing to do something while you're there. Can somebody say amen? Every employer is happy about this sermon this morning. Verse 14 of the third chapter. It says, and the soldiers likewise demanded of John, saying, and what shall we do? He said unto him, do violence to no man, neither accuse any falsely, nor be content with your wages. The third fruit of repentance is that you are an instrument of peace, that you are an instrument of peace. Now, in this 14th verse, you might look at this and says, well, this looks like three additional things, but all these things here tie up in being an instrument of peace. I love Matthew, the fifth chapter, the Sermon on the Mount. There's a couple verses there I want to read out of that, verse 9 to 12. It says, blessed are the peacemakers, for they shall be called the children of God. Blessed are they which are persecuted for righteousness' sake, for theirs is the kingdom of heaven. Blessed are ye when men shall revile you and persecute you and say all manner of evil against you falsely. For my sake, rejoice and be exceedingly glad, for great is your reward in heaven. For so persecuted the prophets which were before you. There are three areas of peace that are fruits or evidence of repentance. They are pointed out here in this response to this man who was a soldier. He came to John and says, what am I supposed to do? First one was, do violence to no man. Now, the actual interpretation of this is not necessarily the act of violence, although it is included in this. But what it is saying is that make no man fearful of you. That's what this is saying. Stop trying to scare somebody. You don't scare me, all right? Stop trying to make somebody afraid of you. And I know sometimes we look at this and say, this puts us in a state of vulnerability. And yes, that's exactly what it does. It makes you vulnerable to other people. But you have to understand that living a life of Christianity sometimes is living a life of vulnerability. I know that people come in here and take advantage of this place. But you know something? I'm still going to be here for them. I know people come in here and laugh at me and talk about me and do all those things. That's fine. I know people steal from this place, but you know what? I'm still going to be here because of the fact that I am not going to make somebody afraid of me, because I want them to come. So hopefully that one day when they hear the gospel, that their lives will be changed. Let's turn to Romans, the 12th chapter, the 17th through the 21st verse. It says recompense. That means to repay. To repay no man evil for evil, but provide honest things in the sight of all men. If it be possible, as much live with you, live peaceably with all men. Dearly beloved, avenge not yourselves, but rather give place unto wrath. For it is written, vengeance is mine, saith the Lord, I will repay. Now listen to this verse 20. I love this one. It says, therefore, if thy enemy hunger, give him something to eat. If he thirsts, give him a drink. For in doing so, it shall reap hot coals of fire upon his head. Be not overcome of evil, but be overcome evil with good. When people do stuff to you, when people treat you wrong, it is important that you get in a state of mind that, you know what, they're not doing this to me. They're doing this to my daddy. And my daddy will take care of this, but my responsibility is to issue out goodness. Don't let the evil that someone does to you overcome you, get you all worked up, get your face all bent out of shape, get your hair falling out, talking about you stressed out because of what everybody else is doing. No, don't repay them with evil, but get some good in your life and start issuing out good. God will take care of the vengeance part. You know what? God can pay somebody back like a mug. He will take care of them, but you have to understand that your responsibility is to overcome the evilness of people with the goodness of God that is in your life. Can somebody say amen? There's three areas of this peace part. This peace part, the evidence of repentance is peace, the instrument being an instrument of peace. The second part, it says, accuse no man falsely. The reality is that a lot of conflict comes when we accuse people falsely of doing things that they did not do. You did this to me. You did that to me. They really didn't do anything to you. A lot of times we can lie our way out of stuff, into stuff, and we accuse people of things that they don't even do. It causes conflict, and it doesn't cause peace. And what happens is that when you accuse someone falsely, you have not become an instrument of peace, but you have become an instrument of conflict, and therefore you don't have the fruit or the evidence that repentance is in your life. Now, this last thing I kind of struggle with. It says, be content with your wages. I struggle with that. Amen. I mean, I read this and I said, wait a second. I mean, is this a different book? I had to flip it up. Be content with your wages. And it says, be happy with you what you're making. I looked at my paycheck and I said, God, I ain't happy. But you have to understand that what this is saying is that make sure that you don't come into a contentious spirit or be an instrument of confusion because you have agreed to be paid one thing, and now that you have done the job, you want to be paid another. And that's what this is saying. This is not saying that at review time don't ask for a raise, because I'll be the first one up there asking for a raise. Matter of fact, I asked for a raise this year. I needed a raise. But you have to understand that it's saying here that when you have done a job, you've been offered a day's wage. Come work for a day, and I'll give you whatever amount of dollars. I'll give you $20, and you agree to that. And then you go work, and at the end you say, well, I think that's kind of worth a little bit more than $20. You agree to it. That's what it says. It says be content, mean be peaceable about the wage that you have agreed upon. And this is the instrument of peace that he is talking about. There are three things that if we're going to have fruits of repentance, that there's going to be evidence against you that you have actually repented and given your life to the Lord. You have to make sure that you're compassionate to those that are in need, that you live a life of integrity, and you also be an instrument of peace. Now, are these all of the fruits of repentance? No. But these are some key things that John is focusing on in this text. The question is for you today, what is your issue? What is your issue? What is really stopping you from having a repentant heart? Is it gambling? Is it liquor? Is it women? Is it men? Is it men with men? Oh God, but is it a woman against one? What is your issue? What is the problem that's stopping you to live a life of holiness and righteousness before him? Do you want to have a repentant heart and return back to the way that God intended you to be, or you want to stay right where you are? The blessings of God are true, but part of the blessings of God is having a repentant heart and living out a life that is according to his will and his word for your life. Can somebody say amen? Put your hands together and thank God for the word today. Being a repentant heart the evidence that you have repented.
Well, praise the Lord. We hope you enjoyed today's mission message for today. We encourage you once again to sow a seed of faith into this ministry. We are the ministry that is uniting the body of Christ to reach the world to help the homeless and less fortunate. We also encourage you to join us every Sunday morning at 10 o'clock a.m. for our Sunday morning worship and breakfast. And again, any volunteer opportunity, they're located on the website at chosen300.org, where you can participate in helping the homeless and less fortunate. May God bless you and may heaven smile upon you.